Here's a receipt. I'll be due in 5 days. And again, I apologize for the mess. We're just
renovating.
Yes, renovating. Yes, making some improvements to the store is all. Have a nice day. Hell, are Mike and Ryan gonna be back with the repair stuff? This whole wooden facade they put up seems pretty flimsy.
I'm more worried about food. We already finished the last of the candy we were able to salvage after the explosion. Now all we have left are those expired health shakes.
Ugh, I'd rather eat paint chips. Hey, hey, what's up, Pana? A pleasure as always. We didn't know you guys were coming by. You didn't happen to stop by a Taco Bell on the way over, did you?
I'd settle for something from the Fresca menu.
I'm afraid not. We're actually here on business, Dave.
Business? What kind of business?
Oh, nothing. Just criminal negligence!
Oh, what the hell?
What the hell?
And my name isn't Pana, it's Yana. J-A-N-N-A. It's a soft J.
Cody, what's wrong with your cat wife?
She's not a cat. She's a ferret.
What's
a ferret?
She's a ferret.
Oh.
I also work with OSHA. Before they left to get repair supplies, Mike and Ryan sent a communication to Cody and myself informing us that the manager of this establishment, David Snyder, has become increasingly erratic and that they have grown afraid of their safety.
Well, come on. I don't know how many times I have to say this. I'm not crazy. I'm perfectly sane.
We'll see. But before I begin with the OSHA training class, I would like to perform a cognitive assessment on you, Mr. Snyder.
I'll save you the time. He's an idiot.
Yes, babe, he's quite dumb. I told you this a million times on the way here.
Quiet! I will make my own determinations. Now, Mr. Snyder, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. When you answer correctly, I will give you a green check mark. When you answer incorrectly, you will receive a red check mark. Do you understand?
Of course. I'm not worried. Because you know what they say.
When it's time to pass the test.
David Snyder is the best.
Okay, I guess I won't be needing the green pen.
In the not too distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
I do.
Well, Mr. Snyder, not well. In fact, based on your cognitive assessment and the IQ test I performed, you seem to have the mental capacity of a kindergartner.
I told you.
What?
Frankly, I'm amazed that you were able to take control of this establishment. By my calculations, you shouldn't even be trusted to operate a microwave.
I've been saying this for years.
But what?
It's clear to me that you need an alternative form of instruction. Something your childlike mind can understand. Something PG, PG-13 at most. I've got it! Now let's see. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Jackie.
Jackie, this being a video store, can I assume that you have some sort of home video technology? Specifically VHS?
Sure, but all our TVs blew out when Chad short-circuited a week ago, so we don't have anything to watch it on.
Ah, not a problem. Just give me moment. I'll be right back. Jackie, would you mind unhooking your VCR and putting it on the counter, please?
Okay.
Beautiful. I'll be right back.
What's she doing?
You'll see, Dave.
Oh, shit! I remember those! It looks just like those black carts you'd always wheel out with the TV on top back at school whenever you watch a video. Wait. Are we watching a movie?
Yes, David. We're going to watch a movie. Something I think you'll enjoy very much. Do you know Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Of course I do! He makes things blow up good!
That's right, David. We're going to watch a video with the Action Man. We're going to learn all sorts of great things, like the alphabet and counting to 10.
Oh man, I can't wait!
Jackie, could you please hook up the VCR?
Okay.
Wait, I'm confused. Did Arnold Schwarzenegger do some kind of instructional video that I don't know about?
Not exactly. It's Kindergarten Cop. I had to choose something that would keep him awake. Something with remedial learning and an occasional gunshot or explosion.
Explosions! Yeah!
That's right, David. Action Man will go bang, bang, boom, boom very soon. All set?
Ready to go.
Perfect. Don't worry, Mr. Snyder. We'll have you reading and writing at a first grade level in no time.
No! Too much homework makes me sick!
I see we have a long way to go.
He's a cop in a class by himself. He is fearless, unstoppable, unbeatable.
I forgot to introduce myself. My name is John Kimball, and I love my car.
Yo, man, I'm just gonna keep an eye on it for you, all right?
Now, he's going undercover to face his toughest adversary.
Listen, Kimball. You gotta handle this like any other police situation.
They speak their own language.
You walk into it showing fear, you're dead.
They play by their own rules.
No fear.
No fear.
And they are totally ruthless.
No fear. No fear.
Up in the morning and out the food.
The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Kindergarten Cop.
American history and practical man.
He's a cop in a class by himself.
Shut up!
What's the matter?
I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
The new comedy from Ivan Reitman. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Kindergarten Cop.
They're horrible.
Well, that was Kindergarten Cop, guys. And I gotta say, this was a favorite of mine. And I think it's probably, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's probably been like 10 years or more since I've last watched this movie. What about you?
I don't know that I've ever seen it all the way through. I knew the a couple of the classroom scenes, and of course the who is your daddy and what does he do, because it's a very good line, but I don't know that I had ever actually sat down and watched it, and thumbs up, it's a good movie.
It's so Cody claims that he watched it fairly recently.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it recently.
I don't remember the last time I watched it, but yeah, same. We watched it a ton when we were kids. A ton.
It's a classic. It's I'm wondering, would I put this in the top echelon of Schwarzenegger's movies? Certainly his comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people give him flack for being a lot of people say Schwarzenegger is not so much a great actor, that he tends to float by on chemistry. But I think he has a few moments in this movie that are genuinely okay performance bits.
I think so. And I mean, to his credit, like on the chemistry thing, like that, if you've got it, then like you've got it. And Arnold at his peak was like, it was a fucking movie star. You can't fake that. But it really, like, you know, his comedies especially can get a little like, okay, sure. Like simple concepts pushed maybe like stretched too far, but honestly, just like the concept of like giant man around tiny children, guess what? And it's like, yeah, it's really funny the whole time.
Yeah, I was
being funny
when we were. I was actually really, really impressed because I don't know that the chemistry wasn't so much there with, I think, Penelope Ann Miller is her name, but he had very good chemistry with the principal and his partner. I attribute a lot of that to them because they were comedians, where Penelope Ann Miller kind of just had to be like the damsel in distress. But
I
think they did such an amazing job writing a part for Arnold Schwarzenegger. He didn't need to be a good actor. He didn't need to have chemistry with the lead, the love interest, because they wrote a character that should be stiff and unsure of what to do, and they wrote the story around that. So I think
that could apply to both of them, actually.
Yeah, true, because she was, you know, very skittish.
Yeah, she's hiding something, you know.
Yes,
I think also just that. He had really good chemistry, like, with all the kids.
Yeah.
So that's definitely important.
And the kids were good. Well, we'll get into that in a second, but let me introduce everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm your host and now a proud first grade reading level person, man, child, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Jackie.
It's not a tumor.
And returning from the wasteland, Cody.
Stop it!
And I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Is it Yana?
It's Yana, yeah, soft J.
Okay. Yes. At some point, I'm curious. Are you guys married by chance?
Yeah, newlyweds.
Oh my god.
He took one look at me and fell head over heels.
Put a ring on it.
You really have a type. People with basically the same names and similar sounding voices. That's,
I mean, are you comparing me to?
Yeah, Dave. We'll stop you right there.
Do all animal people look alike to you, Dave?
He's a human from a different time. We have to slowly acclimate him to the realities of the new
world. He just learned to read, so like,
yeah, give me a break.
Out more.
I can read and write. I'm also a great athlete. But yeah, the kids in this movie, one thing I was thinking about watching this was one thing we've kind of talked about sometimes on the show is like kid actors, and like sometimes, like especially with high school movies, you'll have like an actor who's like 30 playing like a 15-year-old or something crazy like that. Kindergarten's one of those ages that you can't fake the age.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be that age. You can't have a slightly older kid being, these are all,
yeah, you,
all
you would be able to tell if they threw like an 8-year-old in there and
or a 30-year-old.
Your 30-year-old. I think we'd be able to catch that one.
And I really think it shows. And I think that's amazing that the performances from the kids are as good as they are. They seem really natural. Especially with the way they deliver lines. Like, one of my favorite scenes in this movie is when he says, "Now we're going to do something extremely fun. Who is your daddy and what does he do?" And you get these great cutaway gags.
Like, oh, yeah, all the kids. Oh, my God. I love that, like you're saying, like, these are actual, like, 5-year-olds. And it's a very kind of, like, Charlie Brown thing of that's what I think of, at least, of the kind of like, they probably can't read yet, so someone had to tell them what to say, and then they are here like, "My daddy does," and it's just fucking cute.
Okay, we start right here. You.
"My dad repairs wreck cars driven by women who are pinheads. My dad doesn't do anything since the crash.
My dad watches TV all day long.
My dad works on computers, and he's the boss of his company. And he has a mustache and a beard."
Mm-hmm.
"Yeah. He doesn't have that much hair, and his head is so big that he can't wear any hats." My dad is a gynecologist, and he looks at vaginas all day long.
Our mom says that our dad is a real sex machine.
Good.
My dad watches TV all day long.
I honestly had the thought during that scene because it was so naturally good. I was like, I wonder if they asked him this question and just said you can literally answer whatever you want.
Yes.
Yes. There was one line from one of the kids where I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's like, people give money to my dad and then he gives that money to like help people and then they give my dad the same amount of money or whatever.
Yes.
My dad gives money to people that doesn't have money. And then people use that money. And then they give other money back and they give the same amount of money back to my dad.
So I wonder if that was a line they tried to give her and she was like kind of like
trying to think, remember it.
Or if that's actually what her dad does and that's why it sounded so like weird.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly had that thought. I was like, I wonder if they asked this question and just let them kind of run wild with it.
Yeah, they'd be like, because honestly, if you asked me when I was 5 what my dad did, I'd be like, he goes to an office. yeah. Like, I don't know.
My dad doesn't do anything since the crash.
Okay, I gotta imagine some of that was definitely written by the writers.
Like, oh yeah,
like definitely. Our mom says our dad is a real sex machine.
Oh god, the twist.
Nobody but David is coming up with that on their own.
That's, you know, it's I lost my train of thought, but that kind of reminds me of a point I wanted to bring up. But before we get into it, Yana, since this was a childhood favorite of yours, I'm going to leave it to you to explain the synopsis of this movie for anyone listening who hasn't seen it.
Are you trying to butter me up so I give you a better review?
I'm trying to get that green pen out of the gutter. You threw it in.
That is its home now.
The green pen's not coming back.
Well, so my favorite... As a kid, my favorite pieces of the movie were the beginning parts where you really just get to see John in
his R-rated element. Thriller.
Yes. And my family frequently, we have a couple of things that we frequently quote from this movie, and one of them is, my name is Detective John Kimball and I love my car. And the guy says, oh, I'm going to keep an eye on it for you.
I would always headbutt my sister when we recited those lines.
He doesn't say it during that part, Dave.
Donde vas?
Shit!
Oh, excuse me. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is John Kimball, and I love my car.
Yo, man, I'm just gonna keep an eye on it for you, all right? See what I'm saying?
Hey, you gotta watch it for me. Right.
And then, of course, I don't know why. I don't know if this has become a meme or why this wasn't part of the meme-ness of the movie, but I am the potty pooper.
Oh, God, it's such a good line.
It's so good. And that, I am my the dad potty pooper.
I'm the potty pooper.
Hi, Cindy.
As a quick aside, I hate to interrupt your synopsis, but in that moment when he says, I'm the party pooper, right before he says that, this guy walks up to him and he like shoves him into like a glass table on the ground.
Oh, yeah, shatters it.
Just completely shatters it.
All right, party's over. Everyone go home. Next time, my place.
In my memory, that guy like ran up to him and tried to attack him. But rewatching it for this, that is absolutely not the case. This guy is clearly just some like stoned out of his mind guy trying to leave after Arnold told everybody.
Yeah, he's just at a warehouse party, like super high.
He's just like super high, just trying to leave, and then Arnold just shoves him onto that table. It's like,
Dave, you would commiserate with the drug addict. You'd commiserate with the pothead.
He was just thinking, the guy was just too afraid. He's like, did I piss my pants?
This could have been me.
I mean, imagine you're too high and then Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up. You
That's
would
why
be
you
afraid
don't do
to
drugs,
piss your pants.
Okay, it was a staunch anti-drug time.
This
movie's pro-education, anti-drugs.
You do drugs, you get killed.
Pro-cop, pro-education, by cop.
No drugs.
Which leads me back to the synopsis, actually, because a little bit later on, that literally happens with the witness. So they get the witness to come out against the bad guy.
Did we skip? What?
Oh, yeah, the bad guy's here, and there was a witness. You saw his crimes.
Well, I can't. I'm not giving it all. It's a synopsis.
Yana, wait. Was it Crisp?
Crisp.
Crisp.
When he had such a... Cullen. Cullen was his first Crisp. Name. Yeah.
Which is Cullen funny because, has a of course, first name.
In this day and age, we're used to it as a last name.
Yeah.
Cullen Jr.
Well, out in the wasteland, there's the whole Cullen territories. Ruled by the Night Lords.
By the V's.
The V's.
Which is their cool name. And so he gets put away, but it's the testimony of a drug addict, derelict. So they got to try to go get the testimony of his ex-wife, who supposedly stole a bunch of drug money from him. So they go to a little town, and oops, his partner, who is the one that has the background in teaching, gets sick because she's hypoglycemic, which I can relate.
As a ferret person.
As a ferret person, we're all hypoglycemic. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And so then Arnold has to go and be the teacher, the kindergarten teacher.
Who we just saw him being so annoyed by kids. I hope he doesn't have to take care of some kids.
Although I didn't catch that foreshadowing. You're right. Cody was talking the whole time during that part, so.
Yeah, wait, what does he do on the airplane when they're headed to the mission? The kids are kicking his seat, and he turns around and snaps a pencil and is I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yes.
That's what Yana did the whole time Cody was talking during that scene. Cody, come here. If you don't stop,
this is what I'm
going
to do to you.
David, is that what you think she sounds like? Because I have questions.
Hey, give me that.
I need it too.
Yeah.
Stop it! No!
Please!
No.
Let me take a look!
No!
Hey, come here. If you don't stop screwing around back there, this is what I'm gonna do with you.
As a child, I really, really, really loved all of the parts where he was staunchly anti-child.
That was, speaking of the kid performances, after he snaps the pencil, that look on that kid's face is really good.
Yes.
He's like, okay, yeah. I won't
and
do
so
it.
And so they get to the kindergarten, and the principal knows that they're undercover, and she just doesn't know why. And this principal is the freaking VIP.
I love her. She's so small.
It's like, I had this thought too during the movie this time. I was like, I wonder if they went out and literally just purposely found the smallest funny actress that they could find.
She's so small, he's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple concept that works every time.
It's a simple, and she dominates the crap out of him. She gets right up to his pelvis and is like, listen.
Listen to me.
Look at me, this is my school.
4 weeks into the new semester, my superintendent told me I had to replace Mrs. Hagley, a kindergarten teacher of 25 years experience, with an undercover police officer, and he wouldn't even tell me why. I don't suppose you would do me the courtesy of filling me in.
I can't do that.
Oh, you can't do that. I'm watching you. All I have to do is tell my parents that you're here for something to do with the police. And they'll yank their kids out of this school so fast we'd have to close the place. And don't you think I won't if I feel my children are in any danger?
They're not in danger.
She's rad. And then they take him to the class. And there's a very funny scene a little bit later on where he's talking to his partner. And he's like, the kids are bullying me. They're running wild on him. Some of Cody's favorite parts are when he's interacting with the kids for the first time, mainly the lunch scene.
Yep. When he asks him if he's, are these your lunches? No. And you eat them?
Stop
it.
You eat them?
So funny.
Every time Arnold picks up a child with one hand, it's just, again, he's so big. They are so little.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Yes, and then we get into some scenes where the ladies or all the mothers are like, oh, he's a teacher.
Hello Those there. Mothers were horned up.
Single parent capital of the world, we
yeah,
find
Astoria,
out.
Yes. Oregon. Shout out to Astoria, too, because apparently they did, besides the like opening at the mall scene, it was all filmed in Astoria. Or like a lot of it, you know, the interiors, not necessarily, but every time they're like showing the real, you know, green of the Oregon and going by the waterfront.
It looked beautiful, man. It looked picturesque.
It looked so lush. Oh, my God.
And those
were
the real single moms
things.
In your area.
Oh, yeah. They are here. They're horny. Guess what? Everyone's divorced.
Speaking of
Everyone
which, one of the single,
has an eye open.
One of the preeminent single moms in that scene, I don't remember. I don't have the actress's name, but she played Susan in Seinfeld. If you recall.
Yes! Oh. You're right, but she was a redhead, like a kind of mousy brown red hair in this one. You're right!
Holy cow, is that your new teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What are you doing? I don't want him to see me without my makeup.
None of us are wearing makeup.
Well, you're married. You're allowed to look like slobs.
Oh, yes, that was very funny. And then we also have the worldly mother, the worldly single mother that teaches Arnold a thing or two about, look, you got a lot of single parents here and you just got to do your best with the children. She was right.
Oh, her. Oh, yes. I forgot about her. Yes.
She brought the pony to the, to the play. And his partner's like, who the hell is that? I didn't remember that part much when I was a kid, but it just really struck me this time. I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
She had a lot of Yana energy.
She thought she's like, I'm no good at baking, but I thought,
yes!
I'm like, picturing her with a cigarette in hand, even though I'm sure she didn't have one, but
yes.
It's the 90s, you can still smoke indoors.
She's probably thinking, why don't I have a cigarette in my hand right now?
Why did I have to put my cigarette out when I entered this school?
During this part, they had a lot of red herring. Because he's trying to figure out who the kid and the mother are because they don't know. They have a picture of him from when he's a baby. Mm-hmm. And they have a picture of her from when she first married Crisp. So they don't know. There's a bit of a mystery, too. They don't know who the mom and son are that they're looking for. So they have a couple of red herrings. One of them ends up being a child who's being abused by his father. And, of course, another classic part where he decks the father. And the principal's like, what did it feel like? Punched him.
It's interesting watching this movie now because some of these scenes play a little differently, like the one you're describing where like he goes and confronts the guy who's beating on the kid. And he's like, you beat the kid, I beat you. And then it ends with him like going, I'm pressing charges against you. And I'm thinking to myself, well, regardless of whatever that guy's done, I think he's the one who's going to be pressing charges against you. Nothing ever comes of that, but in the real world, that's certainly what would have happened.
Not in the 90s.
Yeah, it's the 90s. Don't worry.
If the movies and TV shows are to be believed, then you could literally beat up anybody you wanted. And people didn't really sue each other much back then.
Yeah, and Dave, it's a good point because you're bringing up the fact that otherwise this movie's 100% realistic.
Yeah.
police officers do go undercover as kindergarten teachers all the time to teach the
also,
youth
they look
for years.
Like that.
And they look
the
like that.
The school is totally cool with it. Like, yeah, you're not going to give us the specifics of why you're doing this. That's fine.
They're just like,
oh, sure, we'll just let you
it.
Around these kids.
Just teach the future of our country. Go for it.
It's fine. They're just, you know, actual five-year-olds.
It was weird that you were watching Dave, and then when he punched the guy, he's like, he's going to sue him, actually.
Well, I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to read. And Yana had all these books about law, and you know, and she had like insurance claims things, and she had all this material I was bleeping through. So I'm learning.
You took in a lot of big words too. Realism of it all did remind me of at the beginning when I think it's Arnold and the partner are kind of making conversation. And she's like, where are you from? And I fully expected it to be the kind of Arnold movie where he's like, Chicago. I was surprised that he was like, Austria. And it's still just like, okay, yes, this man is not from America.
Yeah, he's not from around here.
I was so expecting him to be like, I am from Burbank. But it's still funny that he'd be like, no, I'm just a normal Austrian man. This is why I look like this.
We all look like this.
This is what Austrians are like.
My father was a teacher. His father was a teacher.
Yes. And so he does what a lot of 90s and so on movies do, like another classic, Major Payne. He does it his way, and he gets the kids to respect it.
He turns it into a police state.
And he has them marching, and he has them running drills. He has them buffing up.
Today we're going to play a new fun game. It's called Police School. I'm going to be your sheriff. You're going to be my deputy trainees. Oh, come on. Stop whining. Your kids are soft. You lack discipline. Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me. You're not going to have your mommy slam behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. Oh, no. It's time now to turn this mush into muscles. No more complaining. No more Mr. Kimble have to go to the bathroom. Nothing. There is no bathroom.
Every scene after then he teaches them this police school thing, they are literally stomping, like marching. It's a little unnerving, to be honest.
That was another scene, though, where I was just like, they're so little, where it's like, I think they're doing like one of those like tire, they're like jumping through tires working out. Yeah. And it's just a shot of like all these tiny little sneakers and like little 90s jeans on these kids. And I like just hand over heart was like, they're so small.
Supposedly when Arnold Schwarzenegger took this role, he had a few conditions. One of them being he wanted physical fitness to be a theme throughout the movie.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. I was thinking, I was like,
he became a gym teacher. Yeah.
Is he teaching them anything? Yes. Else?
Well, it makes sense because I think around this time, I think George Bush had anointed him. I forget exactly what the position was, but it was something like
George
physical
w.
fitness
Bush.
Person
was it
of
HW?
The country. Yeah. HW, yeah, yeah.
Yana was wasn't there. She doesn't know.
It was something like, I can't remember what it was, but it was some like, you know, honorary title, like physical fitness, like, you know, something mm-hmm. or other. Of
Ambassador
the
or whatever. And
something
yeah.
like that, yeah.
Terminator.
So that makes sense. That
yeah, you are the official American Terminator.
Well, he's probably saw that kid eating all the lunches. He's like, okay, we need to shape these kids up.
Yeah, the scene where he's like teaching 5-year-olds how to do crunches.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But it also helps build their confidence. Zach, the kid who is being beat by his father, wins the crunch challenge and all is, you know,
oh,
all
I didn't
is right
catch
in his
that. World. Good for yes. him. Good for
Meanwhile,
him.
Meanwhile, Dominic, the star of the movie, can't get one lousy push up.
Oh, yeah. Dominic is the son of the pretty teacher that yes. Arnold is.
That he later comes
by.
To suspect is Crisp's wife.
Yes, so come to find out through a dinner where his partner pretends to be his sister because rather than being a married couple, she rightly starts thinking, oh, we're going to set this up as a romance rather than a we're husband and wife and we're going to try to find out who it is. So they have dinner and come to find out that, yes, Dominic and... What is her name?
Well, her fake Ooh. Name is Joyce, but her
Joyce,
real name is
yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah, Dominic.
Spoilers.
Yes, Rachel. Dominic, they couldn't have a Rachel, of course, because of friends. Dominic and Joyce are...
I would like to have you know this predates Friends, Yana.
Oh, I am a ferret person. I'm so sorry. I can't yeah. get all the dates right.
Oh, speaking of ferrets, we haven't mentioned...
Oh, yeah, yes! The hero of the movie.
Absolute number one hero of the movie, the ferret, who is never named.
As far as I know.
Yeah, never give it a name. That's kind of weird.
But the reveal of the ferret with Arnold saying, oh, excuse me, I forgot to tell you, this is my ferret.
Yeah, like he has it in his bag in the car, and he's just leaving it in the car.
He just left it in the car for God knows how many hours.
He lives with his mother and stepfather. What's the matter?
What is that?
Oh, excuse me, I forgot to tell you. This is my ferret. He didn't bite, don't worry.
This is so bizarre because, like, you figure, okay, so after this scene when they're on their way to the hotel after they've gotten off the airplane and the ferret is revealed, that you would think, okay, he takes the ferret in, puts it, like, in a little, you know, habit trail, what have you. But no, the next day we discover that he left the ferret in the car the whole time. He either left it in the car the whole time or he decided to bring it with him to the first day of class. But also leave it in his car while he's in class.
Obviously, his ferret is his emotional support animal. I don't know why we're not getting this. And the other thing is, as we know, David, we've seen this behavior before. Buff men carry ferrets on them all the time.
That's
you
true.
Don't,
we did, you we have know a, this.
When you have a ferret, you don't just leave it somewhere. It's near you, on your steed, on your mount, in your car. It's always close at hand because you need your ferret. You need your ferret.
You need your ferret. It took you so long to find me because there's a lot of ferret heroes in these movies.
What?
Ferret heroes?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
It's a main theme. That take me
long? Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't connect where you were like, yeah, ferrets, that's where it's at.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know ferret people were out there yet at the time. Oh, wow. It was recent that I traveled into your...
Yeah, we burrow. We burrow.
And you guys, you stay out of sight, you know, sometimes you're blind so you don't come
out.
Well,
that's good to know because one of Cody's exes is a Terra person and I happen to know they love to feast on ferrets, so you're going to want to continue to burrow.
That's a good point. Yes, we take precautions. But so then Crisp gets out of jail because the mom poisons the
his mom.
His evil mom with her perfect evil hair.
She is such a creep.
She's scary.
She's so scary and a creep. I mean, Crisp is the bad guy, but just like Joffrey and
Cersei. Yeah.
We've been binging Game of Thrones on the Waste.
Oh, okay.
Strangely, it's pretty fitting to what's going on in the Waste right now. But Cersei and Joffrey, you see why the son is the way they are when you see the mother. And the mother is just the absolute worst.
Yeah, so she takes out the witness.
The two as well.
There's a very very strange dynamic. There's a very strange scene when they're in a pharmacy and she is buying a bunch of medicine for Dominic and he's like, "You're the reason you told me my whole life that I was sick and there was nothing wrong with me." And I was just like, "What?"
Yeah. That was the creepy reveal of the Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah, there's layers in this movie that it doesn't need to have,
but it does it anyway.
Yeah.
It does it anyway.
Mother, got this great surprise for Junior.
That'll be
$57.90. Children's aspirin. Children's decongestant. Antihistamine. A thermometer.
There's a lot of flu going around this time of year, isn't that so?
It is the season.
The boy's not sick.
Doesn't hurt to take precautions.
Mother, you are going to make him sick. He stuffed all this crap down my throat for years, and there was nothing wrong with me.
That's why there was nothing wrong with you.
Do you think that's why Crisp turned to a life of, like, drug dealing and stuff?
I mean,
I think his mom made him.
I think, goes back to...
I don't
to,
think his thought through.
To, well, you know, that... But it's, you know, as these things go, it's a pattern of... it's a generational thing.
Now, how can you argue with that?
That storyline actually got cut in favor for all the workout scenes with the kindergarten.
Yeah, there's a couple of weird scenes with Crisp and his mom, actually. Like, when they're in the mall and she's getting her hair done and she's like, "It looks ugly and I hate it." And the guy is like, "Well, I'm doing my best." And she's like, "Well, maybe your best isn't good enough." And I'm just like, "What is this?" And then Chris comes in and the lady's like, "A manicure?" And he said, "How can I say no to you?" And I'm just like, this is just...
They've got a weird dynamic.
I love that this is all being... They're getting these services done in a mall, which in my mind, I feel like Cullen Crisp the first, or well, that's not right, his mom, I feel like his mom would probably get her hair done not in a mall.
Yeah, Well, it's the 90s. I mean, malls were different then.
I imagine it was probably done more for convenience than anything else. It's like, I'm meeting, you know, this person that's going to give me information, and I need an alibi. So we'll get your hair done here. I'll get a manicure at the same time.
I'm going to go shoot a guy, and then I'll come back.
And this whole opening sequence, I thought, it kind of got me thinking, because, Yana, like you said, like, the first act of this movie is pretty much it seems like a straightforward, like, cop movie, not at all a kid's movie, and it got me thinking, like, what the audience for this movie was supposed to be, because you figure Kindergarten Cop, I feel like maybe your first thought is, oh yeah, it's kind of like a kid's family movie or something. But when I watched this, I'm like, there's some pretty intense stuff in this for like a supposed kid's movie. And I'm thinking, like, was this meant for kids, or was it kind of meant as kind of like a general, like, you know, comedy for more adults, or maybe like older kids or something?
I think so. I think back then, so I listened
from to, what you've heard.
From what I've heard in other podcasts that I listen to.
What? You listen to podcasts?
It seems to me like a lot of the time the parents just took the kids to whatever movie they wanted to see.
Yeah.
And we didn't have, we had, you know, there was a little bit of Disney stuff, but there wasn't as much of this child movie wave that came about seemingly since maybe the 2000s. And it was really just, well, the kids are going to see whatever movie I want to see, so there kind of has to be a little bit of something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first bit of this movie, again, like when he's following Crisp in the mall, one thing that it took me, like, he looks homeless or something. Like,
yeah,
he looks very dirty.
That,
he looks like John. He looks like Kyle Reese in Terminator 1.
Yes, he looks exactly like Reese.
And the mall is a callback to T2 Judgment Day, obviously.
When they're going through like the back hallway of the mall, I'm like, hey, well, someone's gonna pull out a giant gun from a box of roses.
That's right. The whole opening of this movie is so crazy. Like, when he goes into like that place where everyone's partying and doing drugs and stuff, like, you get moments where he like cocks his shotgun and this guy's like, shit, and he like flies out of the way, he blows his couch. Like, there are several instances of shit, jack shit, mm-hmm. goddamn, like, you know what I mean? Like, I you got a good point. This is not a kid's movie. This is just a movie that's like got some kiddie stuff in it, but for the most part, it's like, we're just making a movie.
We're just making a movie. If the kids are here, whatever.
Shit.
It's just fascinating because, like, I watched this movie as a kid, loved it, but I think you're right, Yana. It was a different time. It's just like we watched what our parents wanted to watch, and hopefully sometimes there was some stuff in it for us. But, like, I'm curious, like, is this a movie you guys would show to, like, if you guys had kids, would you show this to a kid? And if so, what's, like, your age cutoff?
I have a 4.5-year-old nephew. I can't imagine showing this.
I'm sure.
There's that scene too when we get the reveal of the partner and her fiance, where you're like, you see ass from that guy,
and then they're
banging, they're eating spaghetti, like
they're having sexual relations.
Arnold has to be like, okay, I'll leave.
And she's not even trying to hide it too. More power to her there too. She's like, oh yeah, we were banging, and then like they start kind of going at it again a little bit, which is why he's like eventually just like, okay, I'm leaving.
I'll go.
Like, imagine the kids in the audience going, what's happening?
What's that? Who's that? Why is he naked?
I guess you're right. 6 is a good cutoff, Yana. 6 years old.
I'm pretty sure that I certainly watched this when I was 6.
Me too.
I certainly watched it when I was younger.
I think we were all quoting lines like, I'm the potty poopa and stuff like that.
And so Chris and his mom get to town, and pretty frightening scene if you're a child. He starts a fire in the library.
I thought you were gonna mention the scene where he's like, come on man, I'll give you $200 for this racetrack toy, like, come on, it's a bargain.
That was also just disturbing of, like, just beating a man in the street.
Yes, he did beat the man in the street, but that didn't have quite the, the grandeur of lighting the fire in the library.
Which was set up earlier in the movie with all the fire drills.
Yes.
They do. They lay the track very, very neatly from Arnold's first day fire drill where he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's, like, carrying three kids in his arms.
Yes, he's got to, like,
And then he's like, no, we're going to whip you into shape. I've got a whistle. You are going to be so fucking good at the fire drills,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, when the first fire drill happens, Dave pointed up at the screen and said, foreshadowing.
A word I just learned recently.
A lot of syllables in that one.
It was a big boy word.
I'm proud of you. And you think, of course, as the audience member, because you've seen them go through these fire drills so many times and they have it down pat, you're like, they're going to get out of this, no problem. Nope, Dominic gets separated because somebody falls and trips over somebody else. And Ursula...
It's a real-ass fire, too, like, yes, to the kid's credit. It's more fire. Stressful than a drill.
More stressful, and so Crisp comes in and grabs Dominic, and little does he know, though, that the hero of the movie is lying in wait, just waiting for his chance to save the day. And there's a couple of really, really good scenes for here. One of the scenes that always really stuck with me, because I was quite mature as a child and I had my first crush when I was like 4, was the makeout scene between the kids. I was like, oh yeah, God, they're just in there kissing.
This was the moment that, like, was fascinating too. Yeah.
Well, also, what was that room? It looked like it was a closet with a couch in it. So, like,
that's what I said.
It's the makeout room at school, I guess.
It's like a teacher's lounge or something.
That is the closet of teacher's lounge.
Fun fact: the kid making out, that's Jason Reitman.
Okay.
Future director and son of the film's director, Ivan Reitman.
Oh yeah.
That's a little bit weird having your child in there making out with somebody.
You're like, you're going to be in the makeout scene.
Dave knew it so fast.
Almost like he looked them up.
Almost like Dave has a catalog of who makes out in what movies.
Looking up a movie like, does anyone kiss in this?
I'm going to watch this, but what base do they get to?
Oh, it definitely looks like at least second base. And the very, very incredible scene, my dad's favorite scene, actually, he watched it with us and he was just tickled pink by it, was when...
He didn't stick around too. He just ran off and burrowed into the ground.
Burrowed right through the floor.
They burrow up and burrow right back down.
And that's why you got to fix these floors, Dave. That's why we're here.
That's what I'm saying. Floors, yeah.
The exposed ground, you're just going to get stuff burrowing up in here every month.
I know.
What have I been saying?
The building hasn't been up to code in some time.
I honestly, that now that we know about it, you mean some more of my relatives might be dropping in.
They like movies.
Fair enough.
And if you want, I mean, actually, that's a good... Dave, a little bit business here as a consultant for Apocalypse Video. If you do keep one of these corners open, you can make that the ferret door so that they can come right in and rent these tapes.
Yeah.
That's handy.
I'm just saying, you just got to make sure it's labeled.
Just make sure there's food, because again, we're all hypoglycemic and it's a long journey. And so, great scene when the mom hits the partner with the car.
Yeah.
Sets it up for an amazing scene in line later on. So she takes her out, and then the fight goes to a bathroom, which also to me was very interesting because I don't know why the visual of him shooting him against.
It's like a shower, yeah. Like,
yeah, shooting. First, Chris dies in the urinal.
Yeah,
in the urinal. And then the mom comes in and shoots Arnold, and he's up against the corner in the showers. There's just something about that scene. I don't know what it is, but it always stuck with me. It's interesting that they had it in a bathroom.
I was always confused by how It just, it seems like Crisp is easily confused. He's like, there's a moment where he's like, how the hell did you get out of here? It's like, dude, okay. There are exit signs posted clearly.
This is a bathroom made for children. Like,
it's like, he keeps going deeper down into the school. It's like, no, dude, you got to go up and get out.
Yeah, he's so confused of how to get out of a school.
Exactly. I'm like, Crisp ain't too bright.
Mom gave him too much baby aspirin. And,
and he grabs Dominic. And the hero of the movie, the ferret, bites his hand, and Dominic is able to get away. And of course, we're thinking, oh my gosh, is the ferret alive? Is the ferret going to die? But don't worry, we see it scurry away.
It's a pretty brutal moment, too, because it bites Crisp in the neck, and then he just grabs it and, like, yanks it, and, like, yeah, like that, and throws it aside.
Unlike other movies that feature animal heroes that Dave recommends, this ferret lives.
This ferret lives. And appears unscathed. Like, it's not like it's like all limping back to Arnold or something.
Yes. And actually, we don't see where it goes. So hopefully he makes it back to the car or something.
He knows how to get to the car. Don't worry.
Bring your ferret back to the car.
Some say that ferret's still on those walls to this day.
Oh, protecting other children.
Protecting the children of the story.
Watching over like a guardian, yeah.
Oh,
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about making out in the makeout room and then seeing two little beady eyes in like the vent staring down on me. That'd be
David,
a little...
David, in what world are you making out in the makeout room?
And David, also, remember, let's not besmirch the dwelling in vents, all right? Some people here...
suddenly someone doesn't want some beady eyes staring down at them from above? Wow.
I'm sorry, that was insensitive.
You're in first grade. Now we need to get you through some HR courses.
Oh, I'll make a note of that. That's a great idea, babe.
Oops.
HR courses. Because I'm OSHA. So HR is a separate department. And so the ferret saves the day. Oh, but here comes the mother.
And she's got like a shotgun, right? Or she's got some
She picks up the gun.
She has a pistol.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
She's got a pistol, and I think she also picked up the gun.
But she's ready to kill.
She picked up the
kill.
Gun from Arnold's partner.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
She very creepy. Where's my grandson? It's very creepy.
Where's my grandson?
I don't know.
Where's my grandson?
Go to hell.
And I'm sitting here thinking, why is she still trying? She didn't seem to be that interested in the first place. She's evil, and her son, she sees Chris dead. She sees her son dead. So I'm like, you're certainly not going to make it out, old lady. Why are you just trying to leave?
She seemed like she was on board. She's like, we're going to be a family again. You
but
know
Crisp
what I mean?
Is dead.
Well, she can,
she's got a new family
exactly.
Now.
She can replace her dead child with
someone who will appreciate everything
child.
I do for him.
He will take the baby medicine. And
now, come here.
Fine.
I got to stick this rectal thermometer in you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Thank
she's,
you.
She's just so ruled by her Munchausen by proxy that...
Yana, it is the flu season.
It is the flu season.
Also, this was another very, very questionable relationship between Crisp and his mother. Another movie like that of yours, Dave?
That's true. Dave keeps picking movies where animals dies and mother-son relationships are strong.
It was almost like, do they think they're a couple?
I feel like, weren't there like some kind of too intimate like cheek kisses between them? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't, you could feel it, and that's worse.
Oh, yeah. They give the vibe of, like,
very close to each other.
We kiss on the mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking, like, because the mother, while Crisp is in jail, there's a scene where the mother, like you mentioned earlier, like, gives some bad drugs to a dealer or something who then gives
the
drugs to
the
witness, and she dies, and that enables Crisp to get out of jail. Like, that got me thinking, like, is the mother really in charge, I wonder, of, like, the drug business?
That's
that Crisp
the thing,
runs?
Like, where's the Kindergarten Cop prequel that's all about this crazy woman?
Where's the pre-K cop?
Pre-K cop!
Because,
it's all about Arnold's, her as like queen pin.
Yeah, Arnold says in the movie, like, I've been chasing him for years. I know everything about him. It's like, there's a whole other movie going on here.
He's going to get close to them and be like, wait, this is your relationship with your mother? I guess I didn't know about that. Gross.
They always kept that really close to the chest. Mm-hmm. And so, a very incredible scene where the O'Hara comes to the rescue and beats the shit out of the mom
with a baseball bat.
With a baseball bat. And the absolute creme de la creme line.
You're not so tough without your car, are ya?
Not so tough without your car, are ya? So, I mean, I feel like this movie is all over the place. Still very enjoyable. Still very good. Still very classic. But the one line, it's almost as like it was made for the one-liners. Like, people just thought of these one-liners and were like, let's build a movie around these.
How many things can we get Arnold to say? How many times can we get him to say party pooper? Just the one?
This is probably, this honestly, like, as far as Arnold one-liners, like, this, I think this probably beats even, like, Predator as far as number of memorable one-liners.
Yeah.
If it doesn't beat it, it at least, like, ties it.
Mm-hmm.
It at least. Well, I know you're talking about a different.
It's a different type of one-liner.
Too. That's true. That's true.
Of the population quoting Predator, well, except for me and Cody and you guys. And so, of course, Arnold has fallen in love with our love interest.
After Rachel going through her panty drawer.
And
I thought that was unusual. He's looking for.
He definitely pauses on one of those silk.
It's like there's a scene when like he goes over to have dinner, and then he's like, "All right, I suspect that maybe she is Crisp's wife. I'm gonna go look for some evidence." He goes through one of the places he goes through is her panty drawer, and it's like, okay, like if you're searching for things under the panties, I feel like it's not little
How many
unnecessary.
Times can you say this word, David? You could just say underwear drawer too.
There's a moment where he picks up like a particular pair of her underwear and like looks at it for a second. It's like, what is he inspecting the underwear? What's happening? I thought that was unusual.
He hasn't seen a woman's underwear since his wife left.
Oh, guess what they look like? The underwear. Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking, how would I look in these?
Like, no, soft.
Which is foreshadowing to later when the guy puts on O'Hara's robe in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
That great robe. Yep.
Also a great scene. Great scene. And he's very hurt, obviously, so he goes to the hospital. Speaking of the fiancé shows up again and hurts him. He is a very clumsy fiancé.
This clumsy chef food, fiancé though. Of O'Hara.
I bet you the food he brought Arnold was probably pretty tasty. Like, that pasta al olio he made for O'Hara looked pretty good.
Yes.
Just the romance of it all, of someone brings you spaghetti in bed. Like, hey.
That's love.
You do want to marry them.
And also flew up to see her for an afternoon. And then had to go back.
Yeah, right?
That's dedication.
I think we were supposed to get the feeling of that, we're just newly engaged and we can't keep our hands off each other. I think that was what was supposed to be going on there. Yeah. They're just older, so it was kind of hard. You know, it wasn't as successful, I think, as they were trying to be, and it just kind of came off as sort of...
They're just so horny.
Yes, it just came off as very horny.
Well, they definitely have their kinks, the food in bed and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just found a person that matches that. You know, it really
you can't let that go.
Well, and as the movie states, she also needed to date someone who was a chef or was heavily involved with food in some way or another, as she is hypoglycemic.
Oh, yep.
And I believe he stays at Astoria. To be with Dominic again.
Do you think that's the suggestion? Well, he does say later, he's like, I wish I was a real kindergarten teacher.
And she says, where do we send the invitation? And then it cuts to him going back to the school to meet up with Rachel/Joy. So I think the implication is that, yes, he stays in Astoria.
Do you think he becomes a cop in Astoria or a first grade teacher?
I think
he has to go back to school first and get his credentials.
Well, it seems pretty loose in Oregon. No. I think they just hand it out to whoever.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're like, have you
remember, this is the 90s. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. didn't even have to get like the 2 years or whatever.
He gave him a pass, like a hall pass equivalent to a teacher degree.
They're like, well, you've been pretending to be a teacher for like 2 whole weeks, so
you really whipped him into shape.
Yeah, you're really good at pretending to teach.
Honestly, he could be a gym teacher just on his body of work.
That's true. He could just be a gym teacher.
If they looked at him, they would say, you know what? You don't even need to show us a diploma. You know what you're doing.
They might have made, I am a, maybe I'm a romantic, but I think he stayed as a gym teacher.
Mm-hmm. He's got to be there for his new family.
Do you think she went back to Rachel, or do you think she kept going by Joyce?
I bet she kept going by Joyce.
Yeah, because Arnold and O'Hara were the only two that knew her real identity, so.
True.
Yeah, do
Plus
you think
Arnold
after
kept calling
that,
her Joyce anyway,
her
so.
her coworkers were like, "So I heard you're kind of involved with the like fire thing, and then the guy who was murdered at the school. So what's up with that?" She's like, "That's
it's a small town, Joyce. People talk."
That's a good point too. And he lifts her up, and
oh, we get a freeze frame.
Freeze frame after being dogpiled by the kids.
I was thinking because in this brief moment, this is the only scene in the movie where we see the actual kindergarten teacher of those kids in the background. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, like, her inner monologue must be like, oh, so this is that asshole endangered the lives of my kids.
Okay. She was clapping along, and I was like,
she was also willing to. She apparently, this whole school agreed to, like, okay, yeah, we'll let this undercover police officer come in for reasons.
For reasons.
She got a vacation.
Yeah, she got a vacation. I don't think anybody That's else true. But the principal and that teacher they replaced knew.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I don't think any of the other teachers did. Because if so, then Joyce would have been like, why is there an undercover cop in my school?
Wait, what? Why is there?
He has experience. He has teaching experience in Austria.
Also, in look Austria. At those muscles.
Also, you see this guy wearing his tall pants.
That reminds me. That's a funny moment. Like when Arnold O'Hara meets up with or they end up meeting up with Joyce and Dominic and have dinner together. I thought it was funny. There's a moment when Arnold is making all this shit up as to like his backstory, and as the crazier it gets, like my father was a teacher, his father was a teacher. There's a moment when it cuts back to O'Hara as he's like reciting all this made up bullshit. And it keeps getting crazier. And he, like, there's a moment where he's like, yeah, I teach physical education in Arizona. And she kind of, like, goes like this, like, oh, really? Oh, wow. like, you're really making this shit up, aren't you?
I think she was impressed with his off the cuff.
Yeah, I like that moment.
Shout out to Arizona.
I didn't know you could riff like this.
We love a good shout out to Arizona.
Why?
Because I have family there.
Interesting.
A lot of ferrets in Arizona, dunes. Yeah.
Well, did we have any other thoughts? I mean, this is one of those movies where it's so easy to fall into the Chris Farley show where you're just like, oh, this scene was amazing or that line was really funny or stuff like that.
I already said all the lines I like.
I said a lot of lines.
It's tough because this movie is, it's just good. It's just a nice little movie.
It
so
is.
You end up just kind of being like, yeah, it's good. Like, Arnold's great with kids. He's really funny when he, you know, bouncing off of, anytime there's the challenge, right, of this movie is that Arnold can't just beat up the little kids so they can really be assholes to him. Whereas if this is any other movie or any other person, they could be mean to him and Arnold would be like, well, I'm bigger than you. I'll beat you up. So there's this, you know, that fun hurdle. I really don't have anything in particular to say about it because it is just like, yeah, what a
good
joy.
And fun. I'm going to just stress again how much I really enjoyed all the kindergarten actors. They're just really cute. And once again, very large man and very tiny children is perfect
winning
comedy.
Combo.
Yeah, it just is. It just is.
And if you don't like Arnold or if you're expecting it to be, you know, Oscar nominated. It's not the movie for you. But it's a very good, pretty wholesome, just fun little movie.
And again, to speak to the strength of the kid actors, I only counted 5 times where I noticed that one of the kids was looking directly into the camera.
Good for them. That's, hey, the amount of kids they were wrangling, those are good.
That's impressive. It didn't even get to double digits. I thought for sure we would get at least like 12 or like a dozen looks directly into the camera. But
Dave,
only five,
this movie was meant to be teaching you something. You weren't supposed to be trying to screw the movie.
Here I am with my red pen grading the performance.
Where did you get a red pen?
These little fucking kids don't know how to act in a movie.
Audacity.
I'm going to rip this movie to shreds.
Everything wrong with Kindergarten Cop.
The kids.
The kids are sometimes not professional actors.
Well, did you guys have any other thoughts on Kindergarten Cop, or should we get into recommendations?
Yeah, let's start recommending. Well, I had one more note of it was early on of I don't know, just Arnold being Arnold, but he's very McBain vibes.
Oh yeah,
which is always good.
The beginning for sure.
Yeah, he's very when he's in the glasses and the like stubble and like a trench coat.
That
very
reminds
McBain.
Me. There a brief little aside while he's in McBain mode. Did you guys notice that his shotgun had a scope on it?
No. Yeah, dude.
I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah, just normal cop stuff.
I thought that
stuff.
Was unusual. He also had it like strapped to him in such a way that he could conceal it. Again, very Kyle Reese. He had it like strapped to like. He had like a strap on because like
he had a what? He had a what, Dave?
he had a strap attached to his arm, and like it kind of fell down and like hidden inside his trench coat. Like
he
again,
hit his what in his
Kyle
trench
Reese.
Coat?
Yeah, it's just normal cop stuff that you wear to the mall.
Well, yeah. I mean, needless to say, I would recommend this movie. Is it a perfect movie? I think for what it is, yeah, it's a perfect movie for what it is. Great act. It has action in it. I think it's very funny. Again, the chemistry between Arnold, the kids, and O'Hara is really good. I think the humor holds up. It's very funny, and again, surprisingly good kid performances. Like it's charming. Like it's effortlessly charming with him and the kids. You can't help but laugh. And that one kid is so cute. You know, like Mr. Kimball, I have to go to the bathroom really bad. Again, just the
it's like their overall. Just like,
yeah,
fuck.
The earnestness of the kids was charming. I thought so. Definite recommend from me.
Yeah, I recommend if you want to take a look at beautiful Astoria,
oh, yeah.
Oregon.
A postcard from Astoria.
And also if you like fun movies.
Yes, recommend for sure. It's an absolute classic. You're not going to get some of the memes or quotes if you don't watch it. So.
Yeah, if you want that blessed context for why Arnold is asking the children who their daddies are and what they
and that
do.
Things are not a tumor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the, yeah, if you want to know what's not a tumor,
recommend Big Man, Small People. Good movie.
Good movie.
And it'll and if you're having trouble reading, it'll get you up. It'll crank you up to a first grade reading level.
And you'll like know at least a little bit of the
Gettysburg Address.
That's right.
So, yes.
Well, I think my work here is done.
Yeah, I wish we could stick around, but yeah, I've got to get going. Dave seems to be doing fine now. I really have to get back home, put up the lasers, you know, to keep out the bad people.
You mean your exes?
Well, like I said, the bad people.
Well, thanks for everything, Ian. I really appreciate all your help. If it wasn't for you, I'd have never learned the lyrics to Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
And a moo moo here and a...
E-I-E-I-O! Sorry, our candy supply was destroyed when Chad's circuits overloaded on the last episode. All we have are these expired health shakes, and I'm not sure they really count as food.
I need to eat! If I don't get something to munch on soon, I may go crazy!
Ah, my mic! Ryan, perfect timing! So, did you guys manage to bring back any food?
Ah, no. In fact, we had to make a deal with a guy at Bartertown for the rest of our health shakes in exchange for the cement mixer.
I guess we'll have to bust into our emergency supply of paint chips for the time being.
I can't take this anymore!
Oh, hey, who... what are you?
Yikes. Cody, what is wrong with your dog?
I'm a fairy, yeah!
Oh my god, he's trying to eat my face!
Hannah, stop! Hiss! Hiss!
Careful, the facade!
It's starting to buckle!
Ah. I'll show you, you freaking ferret!
Mike, no!
Stay out! You'll serve your kind here.
Mike, what the fuck? That's my wife!
Your wife? You remarried? Again?
Oh shit! It's coming down!
Take cover!
Oh shit!
Yana! Oh god, Yana, talk to me! I hear you. What are you trying to say?
I know what she's saying.
What?
She's saying, consider that a divorce.
I'm truly gonna fucking kill you, Dave.
The student becomes the teacher.
Headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.